Also, Will Lowe is here. You're master distiller of the Cambridge Distillery, and you're here to get our senses tingling with some pre-dinner drinks. And what does the Cambridge, what does the distillery do? What are you actually trying to do?
So the Cambridge Distillery is a unique distillery. We focus on mainly on production of gins, but the way that we make gin is different to pretty much the way everybody else in the world makes gin.
Can you just explain actually what is gin? Because I know I like it, I know I like to drink it, but I've no idea really what it is and what goes into it. I know it's got something to do with juniper.
Sure, and that's the start point really. So gin is just a spirit which is predominantly juniper flavoured, but the way that that flavour gets there is very important. So the way that most people make gin is that you start with effectively a large pot, fill that with a neutral alcohol, and then add your juniper to that, along with other botanical ingredients. Then you boil all that up, collect the vapour that results, condense that back into a liquid. That's gin. But that's not how we do it. At the Cambridge Distillery, we take the observation that not all ingredients like to be boiled at the same temperature. In fact, some don't like to be boiled at all. So we separate all the ingredients out and apply vacuum distillation. This allows us to reduce boiling temperatures. So in the cases of things which are more delicate, cucumber, rose, for example, instead of increasing the temperature, we simply drop the pressure right down so we can just lift the flavours off.
Oh, well, so instead of actually boiling up this giant stew and just keeping the vapour and chucking the stew residue away, you're actually saying we can boil things off at a much lower temperature and therefore we may not get this deleterious, destructive effect on some of these more delicate ingredients, and you can get them into the final product rather than just boiling them away.
That's exactly the principle. So instead of having one big pot, we've got lots of little individual chambers. We control the boiling point because of the pressure, different temperature in each case, so much lower temperatures for the much more delicate flavours.
Tell us about how you actually blend a gin, or you know, what is the anatomy of a good gin, if you like?
So I like to think of gins as having sort of base notes, heart notes and top notes. This is something that really it brushes shoulders with the perfume industry in many ways. So with base notes, for example, the key base note here will always be juniper. I've got some here for you to try, actually. This is a juniper distillate. So if you taste that, you'll notice its base notes typically tend to be characterised by being relatively bold flavours, but relatively simple flavours.
Let's give this a try. So this is just a clear, colourless liquid. It just actually tastes like cheap gin, if I'm honest. It's just literally, it's got that flavour of gin, but it just tastes like vodka and some junipery flavour.
Yeah, so, I mean, that is gin without its clothes on. That's a naked gin for a naked scientist. So where the character comes in, that's where we add in the heart notes. So at this point, it's useful to understand a bit about how flavour actually works. Flavour being a combination of your sense of taste, which is what happens in your mouth, where you have sweet, sour, bitter, acidity and umami. And then you've got smell, so olfaction. There are two routes to that, one through your nose, so smelling, as most people would call it, but orthonasal olfaction, as we call it, and then backwards through the back of your throat, which is retronasal olfaction. And these interact very differently. So a way of demonstrating this, I've got a spirit here, which I'll put into a pipette, and ask you, if you can, to put it into your mouth, but with your nose held. Do you want me to hold your microphone?
You hold my microphone, so I'm going to hold this pipette, I'm going to hold my nose and squirt this in my mouth.
And then there you are. Now try and swallow with your nose still held.
Okay, done that.
Taste almost nothing. And then when you release,
can't
your
taste
nose,
anything. Let my nose off.
Breathe in and out.
Oh, it's a beautiful lemony flavour.
Huge.
Do you know? I used
flavor.
To do the same thing with Brussels sprouts when I was at school because I hated them, and
yes.
I found if I held my nose, I didn't have to taste them. And that's the same principle.
Exactly the same. So by cutting off that access to retronasal olfaction, you can really dampen flavour right down, or the opposite, as we just saw in there.
How does this apply to gin, though?
We use a heart note as something that you can identify both ortho and retronasally. So it's the character that you'll pick up when you nose the gin, but it's also a really persistent flavour after you've swallowed.
Yes, I can still taste that lemony essence now.
Right. So the opposite of that in many ways is a top note, which I've illustrated here by using an atomizer. So I've used this, it's like a perfume bottle, but a perfume you can spray directly into your mouth.
So this is a big square bottle. It's got a little squirty thing on the top like perfume. I'm going to spray this just on my tongue, yeah?
Straight into your mouth.
Ooh. Okay, that's a rosy flavour. It's like rose.
Right.
But it wasn't like the lemon one, which I could still taste from minutes ago. That was there in a flash. It was like someone detonated a sudden explosion in my mouth and it was over in a flash. It's gone.
And that's exactly what we use a top note for. So by using the atomizer, we're massively increasing the surface area there. It gives you a really intense, strong hit, but then it disappears. It's almost ethereal, a really sort of elusive element of the flavour that we balance. So what we do is we take all these elements together, wrap those up into one single flavour, as it were, and then that's how how we make a gin. But of course, because not all people are the same, we also offer a gin tailoring service where we can do this and fit a particular gin to each individual person's particular palate.
Now you've educated me about how you do all this, does this mean, Will, that you could make gins from ingredients that would, I suppose, be regarded as unusual?
It means exactly that. Certainly the weirdest one, I think, would be our anti-gin.
Anti-gin, like antifreeze?
Anti-gin like ants, as in creepy crawlies made from actual ants, yeah.
How did you do that?
Well, long story short, this was a collaborative project between us and the Nordic Food Lab. They made the observation that some ants from some places have very specific flavours. We actually use a red wood ant, which has this sort of, it's citrusy. If it were just a citrus flavour, we would use lemons. They don't run away, they don't try and bite you, but they have a completely unique flavour. And all gins have a citrus flavour in them somewhere as well. So,
how do you get the flavour out of an ant? Do you go and dig up an ant's nest and just get millions of ants and just do what you would do if they were juniper berries?
Well, actually what we do is we work with a chap called Miles Irving, who's a forager in South Kent, and he very cleverly waits for these ants to be on the move. So they go very deep underground to avoid the frost during winter, and then in the spring they start to swarm. Now, it's very important to us that we use happy ants, because if you get upset ants, then they express their discomfort by spraying formic acid. Now, that's the bit that we actually want. So we use these happy ants. Miles will put down a big sheet that they crawl over on their swarming journey and pick that up and sort of gently shake them directly into a high-strength ethanol, which conserves the formic acid and dispatches them in as humane a way as possible. That ethanol then comes back up to us in Cambridge, where we distill it.
Have a go.
Of course. So what I'd like to show you first of all is the ant distillate. So this is what ants taste like when distilled. So this is pure ant distillate.
Here we go. It's not at all unpleasant, and it's quite a subtle flavour, but it tastes ginny without actually any gin there yet.
This is how we knew immediately on first tasting that this was a project that was going to be successful.
Yeah, right, so what, you blend that in with your other notes now to get that very nice rustic flavoured gin?
That's right, and this is the result.
So this is, it looks like a clear, colourless liquid.
Yep.
Okay, here we go, give it a try. Well, it's extremely pleasant, and it's much more complex and much more interesting than the rather boring base that we tried earlier, which is a good thing, because if it wasn't, obviously there'd be a problem. But no, that's delicious. Will Lowe, Master Distiller of the Cambridge Distillery, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.